You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Want to get to some basketball things here because New York Knicks fans are delighted. It hasn't felt this good in New York since Amari Stoudemire's brief run at an MVP.
Oh, that 1 month.
That 1 month when Knicks basketball felt good. They're a four seed. They've got eight straight wins. They're a few games over 500.
You forget about Linsanity. They are 14 straight covers, back page newspapers. How about that?
And I believe they released confetti when they avoided a sweep at the hands of the Miami Heat in the first round.
Yes. So we will talk with Shams about that and some other things. You could check him out at The Athletic and Stadium. He's got a sit down with Joel Embiid later on today. Joel Embiid yesterday almost made Stugatz 0.8 tenths of a second left down three, grabs a free throw miss, and almost, like, it was in and out, threw it the length of the court, almost tied the game.
To tie the game, right? That would have been the greatest shot in the history of the NBA.
It would have been pretty good, yes. So Shams is with us now. What can you tell us? Thank you, Shams, for making the time. What can you tell us about the sit down with Embiid? You got Ben Simmons out here saying he's the defensive player of the year. That team is vastly improved. Those two guys are great. Great. What is Embiid talking about that's interesting these days?
I think just his desire for the MVP. He's not brash about it. He feels like being the number one seed and putting up the numbers he's putting up, not only on the offensive end, but the defensive end, playing both sides of the ball. He feels like he's the MVP. He looks at Nikola Jokic, LeBron James, James Harden. He looks at their cases, and I think he respects it. But in Joel Embiid's mind, he is that guy, and he does deserve the MVP. And I think this year more than others, he wants to prove that he can be on the court. And you've seen in the last couple of years, he's come back from injuries, looks a little bit, you know, out of shape at times. But this year he's come back from this injury that he had with his knee, and he's still put up these dominant numbers. So I think that's probably the biggest thing. And he gave me a line where he said, you know, 10 years ago, I just started playing basketball. Within 6 years, I'm an all-star. And now he's an MVP candidate.
I need you to take that back. He's not in shape. Like, I refuse to look at that human being and see somebody who is not in shape.
Previously.
You're never going to be able to tell me that human being.
I think he's more qualified to tell us than you're qualified.
I don't think anyone is qualified to tell me that Joel Embiid is out of shape. There's no such thing as that. You've looked at him. That's not out of shape ever.
I think you're viewing this through your own prism.
Right. An NBA prism is a little bit different, Dan. Are we right?
I think it's the conditioning, though, Dan. I think it's the ability to play, you know, significant minutes. He'll have minutes restrictions. He'll have to sit games. There was a lot of resting going on during Brett Brown's years there. I don't know if they just played him with kid gloves at different points. And I'm sure there was a little bit of that because of his injuries, because of his injury history. But now you've kind of seen them really let go. And he's, you know, Doc Rivers is playing him heavy minutes. He's taking on the challenge of playing heavy minutes. And I think that goes with the burden I think there's a goal in his mind. I think he was disrespected not being on the All-NBA team last year. He did tell me that, you know, and I think he tweeted out, he felt like people thought he was deported. And he's like, I'm still here. Like, I'm still Joel Embiid. Like, where's my love? And I think he did take a lot of motivation from that.
As a team, why are the Sixers so much better this year than they were last year?
See, I think only time can tell if they really are. I think their record is pretty similar to where they were a year ago. I don't think they're that much better as far as record-wise. And I think that the only reason they might be a little bit better right now is because they've really just unleashed Joel Embiid. And I think that's the difference we've seen from Brett Brown. I think there were moments, you know, Embiid admitted to me where he was frustrated with the offense and he could see himself kind of drown himself out of games when he's not getting touches and he's slouching, you know, either coming back on defense or on offense because he didn't get the ball. Whereas now Doc Rivers came in and Daryl Morey came in and they made it clear, this is your team and we're going to give you the ball as much as possible. And he leads the league in post-up touches. I think he's at around 13, 14. And I don't think that's a coincidence. Like, they've made it fully about him.
What's the difference between what the initial reports were on Sterling Brown here when you had a Miami incident outside of a nightclub with the Houston Rockets? It was reported one way incident, you know, at the beginning one way, and then you had a report that had a lot more details in it, and it seems like it was really scary. What happened?
Yeah, so this incident happened late Sunday night into the early hours of Monday. And, you know, when the Rockets initially made their statement, they said that Sterling Brown suffered facial lacerations and would make a full recovery, but it was a lot more severe than just facial lacerations. You know, I had one person tell me his face is jacked up right now, his body, he's going through it right now. But essentially what happened is you had, you know, a group of Rockets players go to this strip club in Miami. It's called Booby Trap. And, you know, they did enter a booby trap because from what I reported, I hate making that point.
Wow, you
don't shy away from a chance.
Oh, wow, he gets the Hakeem Knicks line.
Yeah. That's a good joke. That's a good joke. Be proud of yourself.
Yes. It's the quickest anyone's ever gotten it on the show.
This show, I don't think this is a bit of an upset. Shams getting the Hakeem Knicks laugh faster than anybody in the history of the show has for making a booby trap joke. Yeah. And it was indeed a booby trap.
There isn't insider.
I don't know if I'm really proud of that one, but what happened was Sterling Brown entered a sprinter van that was not his, and he got into a very, very heated verbal exchange with three or more individuals. So it might have been even more than three, but at least three individuals, and it ended up and escalated in him being physically beat up. He had a bottle smacked, on his head multiple times. He suffered three major gashes on his head that later required, heavy stitching procedures. And it was dangerous. If he wasn't 6'5" and built the way he's built, you know, we had someone close to him that told us he might have died because of what happened and just the viciousness of that attack. And he had a teammate, Kevin Porter Jr., who was around that scene as well, and who was also roughed up, and I'm told he was also physically harmed in some capacity, but he was fine in the aftermath, and he ended up playing Monday night. And then our report comes out yesterday, and he entered NBA health and safety protocol. So the NBA it's a full on investigation right now. There's a lot of details that, you know, we're kind of hearing and sitting on, because this is it's a very sensitive situation that, you know, you want to handle with appropriate, you know, context to it.
Do you know why he was getting into the wrong van? And do you know why he was being beat up? Are any of those backstories pinned down?
So the sense is that he felt that he was going into the right sprinter van that belonged to another teammate, but it wasn't his teammate's sprinter van. It was obviously one that didn't belong to him or any of his teammates. And when Sterling Brown got in, the tone of the conversations with him and whoever else was in that van did not go positively right from jump. And, you're talking about, you know, individuals at 5 in the morning who, you know, some might have some alcohol in their system. Some might not. I don't know, but, you know, you're looking at that time, nothing good is going to happen that late, I guess, into the night, into the morning. And, you know, police arrived at the scene around 6:45 in the morning, and he was taken to the hospital, to the emergency room right after 7 a.m. And, you know, there was a sense within that organization with the players, with the coaches, that he was in critical condition. Thankfully, it didn't reach that state.
Are you going to give Stugatz and his Knicks some hope?
Please.
I mean, I think we talked about it, right? Stugatz, last time I was on, they have this culture of just toughness that I think Tom Thibodeau has brought them. And for them to be the 4 seed right now is I think just a testament to what Tibbs does. And so I don't know if they can win a first round series, but I do think that they're back. And going into this offseason, which again is not going to be that strong as far as free agents. I mean, which guys, you know, are they going to have interest in? You know, I would look at guys like Dennis Schroeder, Victor Oladipo, but there's just isn't that strong crop. So then what do you look at? Do you look at the trade market? Do you look at a guy like Bradley Beal, Karl Anthony Towns, you know, maybe a couple of years from now? I would assume they look more toward the trade aspect than free agency because, you know, Kawhi Leonard is probably the marquee free agent, right? You know, he's most likely going to stay with the Clippers. So, you know, Stu Goss, for us to be talking this far in advance.
No, but I've got to stop you because you actually said back-to-back sentences. You said, I don't think they're going to get out of the first round.
That's fine.
But the Knicks are back. And those two sentences can't coexist together.
For them to be back in the playoffs, I think they are back. I do define that as being back.
They're back
I
think to five games over 500.
No. They have a coach who has given them some respectability, Dan. They have a player in Julius Randle that players want to play with. You have Zion wanting to go to New York. He is right. The Knicks are back.
You would never argue that a team with Julius Randle as its best player were back to anything other than five games over 500.
No, but he's played well enough where I think perhaps free agents might want to go to New York to play with Julius Randle.
Oh, for the love of God.
Dan, if he's your second or third best player, you have a really good team.
Five games over 500, they're back, and everyone wants to play their mecca of basketball. They get to five games over 500 after two decades of pooping themselves. They're back, and they're not going to get out of the first round. Who are they beating in the first round? Take it back, Shams.
I mean, I think, listen, anytime you have Tom Thibodeau, I think you have a chance. I think what he's brought, and you're seeing him make the most out of, you know, this roster is basically the same roster that was, you know, bottom dwelling last year, right? So you bring back basically the same group. You add Obi Toppin, you add a couple other pieces. Getting Alec Burks, I think a free agent like that was positive. And you're seeing Tibbs bring in guys that follow his culture, right? Derrick Rose, they go out and make that trade. Taj Gibson, they go sign him. I think winning early gave Tom Thibodeau the autonomy to then, you know, probably nudge his front office a little bit. Like, let me get some of my guys in here. And I think that's clearly benefited that group. I think that group benefited from having Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson around. But I think – overall, I think you do have to give credit to Tom Thibodeau for the job he's done.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. If you have Tom Thibodeau, anytime you have Tom Thibodeau, do you have a chance?
You do. Knicks Hawks, first round of the playoffs, Dan. I mean, Trae Young got hurt last night. Come on. I mean, who you got? You got the Knicks at five?
I want the Heat and the Knicks. Please tell me the Heat can get up there and figure out four against a five. That's the first round series that we need to see around here. Please, dear God, allow it to be New York against Miami in the first round. I don't know what the probabilities are, but nothing would be better than that for us here in Miami, right?
Listen, he said he's back. The Knicks are back, and that's all that matters. It does it. That's it, Dan, okay? The Knicks are back.
Okay, that's
it. It's one thing if I say
all right.
it. I mean, someone with credibility.
Someone with credibility.
It is so depressing that this is back for you.
Mike, I mean, how long have we been doing the show? Have they ever been good?
You also look at the Eastern Conference, though, right? Like, we're looking at, you know, Miami, Boston. I mean, you have a handful of, you know, a couple teams, Toronto, that were way above the Knicks last year. And just because of what's going on this year, COVID protocols, injuries, a lot of different factors just are not at that level, at least in the regular season. I mean, let's put it up to you guys. Who would you rather take in a first round series right now, Boston or Miami or the Knicks?
Well, I would say to you,
while
the Knicks are playing well, I believe everyone here would say that they would take Boston, Toronto, Miami, everyone over the Knicks. That the Knicks are going to suffer from a lack of belief, are they not? And if I tell you, no matter how good Julius Randle has been this year, and he's been all-star kind of good, nobody's buying that as a team. That's why you started your sentence on Knicks are back with, I don't think they're getting out of the first round.
When you have Thibs, you have a shot, Dan.
No, but you don't have a shot to get out of the first round. Let's play douche or no douche with Shams.
And now it's time to play douche or no douche. Here's your host, Douche Lebatard.
You negotiated that sound, huh?
I did. I got that sound. Being on Cameo, Shams, do you think that person who is on Cameo, douche or no douche?
No douche, because, yeah. I mean, get your money.
Right.
Speaking of which, articles stuck behind a paywall, douche or no douche?
Oh, that's going to hit close
that's
to home.
Terrible. That is a terrible question to ask you.
No douche. Absolutely no douche. Athletic, let's go.
Saying something is sus because you're too busy to call it suspect. Douche or no douche?
No douche. And like, how can I say douche? I've said it before, so I can't say it. I can't call myself a douche.
Guys like Shams and I were just too busy to add the pect at the end of suspect.
Super serious NBA top shot person, douche or no douche?
Oh, man, I know too many to call them. Dan, you're trapping me, man. Come on, I can't answer that.
That's
man.
What we do.
Person who unpacks their clothes completely for a three-night stay in a hotel, douche or no douche?
All right, then I'm a douche then because I've done that.
Yeah, I do it too. I mean.
Using the word matriculate in a sports conversation, well, the word matriculate in a sports conversation, douche or no douche?
I've never met anyone that's done that, so no one can come at me for this. So yeah, that's douche.
Unreliable NBA sources, douche or no douche?
You mean just in general, people that are unreliable?
That's right, unreliable NBA sources.
I think you got to be a douche at that point.
That's right, yes. Right. You do have to be a douche. Person who sends back the food at a restaurant, douche or no douche?
I've done it before, so I'm going to say I'm not a douche. I'm not a douche.
Instagram life coaches. Instagram life coaches. Douche or no douche?
Oh, my God. Listen.
Those are a lot of NBA sources.
Oh, man.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know any, actually, so we'll just leave it at that.
Person who pees in pools. Douche or no douche?
Oh, that's a douche movie. That's not nice. That's not nice.
What if it's a big pool?
I've done it though. I mean, we all have, right?
My God.
I think we have at some point in our life.
But the showers you're fine with, right?
Yes. I think that's appropriate.
You sound like you're lacking confidence. You don't sound like you have you don't have a lot of conviction about any of this.
We gotta just add up the repetition, and then I'll start to get more comfortable.
I said leaking.
A person who wears a scarf, douche or no douche?
How can I? I live in Chicago. I can't call people douches for wearing scarves.
Fanny no pack douche. Across your chest, douche or no douche?
Across your chest?
Yes.
That's it. That's it. Come on now.
Yeah.
Douche. That's a lot of NBA fashion. Your side swiping over there. You've never over seen one it. Shoulder.
Right. But he's. Never
I don't know. I've never seen it. Right. Shit, maybe I'm missing something. I've seen it over the shoulder.
Yeah, that's the one.
I've definitely seen it over the shoulder.
That's douche.
Again, check out his work, The Athletic and Stadium. Also, Shams, before you get out of here, you're doing some mentorship stuff that matters to you. Tell the people about what it is that you're doing and why it is that you're doing it.
Yeah, so I mean, I got linked up with a trainer, Alex Basil, who started this mentorship program called Through the Lens. And he's got, you know, multiple NBA players part of it. Carmelo Anthony, Trae Young, Kerry Champion's a part of it. You know, a few other people in the industry space, and just to be able to give advice and give my, you know, it was like a 5-hour taping that we did. So to be able to give, you know, kind of my backstory advice and kind of, like they say, through the lens and kind of take people behind the scenes of everything. I think, you know, it meant a lot to me. I'm very particular with what I do and how I do it. And so this one to me, as I'm continuing to grow, I guess, grow older, try to help people and share what I can. As I'm still trying to navigate and figure all this stuff out.
Well, you're a hustler, though, right? You're a grinder. So when you're talking to people about what your career has been, I'm assuming a lot of people look at you and say, well, I want to do that. I want to be the person who does that. And you're like, no, you don't. You don't understand what these last 8 years have been like in terms of having to fight the system and having to do the grind.
Yeah, I mean, it's people see the result, right? That's easy for people to see, like the last year or 2 years, and people want to give you your props. But, you know, this process started, like you said, 8, 9, 10 years ago. I mean, I'm 27 now. I started writing and trying to really push through this when I was 17 years old. So it's taken a decade to kind of put myself, I guess, at a position here now. So with all of this, it's just a process. It only takes a couple of yeses, and you just got to make the most of it.
But no formal training, right? You don't have you don't have schooling. You came up through the hustle. You're literally a success story that comes up through the teenage years of being an information hound in a cutthroat business where Woj is the king, and you're doing it as a teenager with any formal training?
I mean, I got a bachelor's degree in communication. Most of the class I was skipping out because it's like you want to get the experience, right? So I was skipping class, you know, either you're skipping, class moments or social gatherings or parties because you're trying to put yourself in that position, right? Where you're driving to Milwaukee, driving to Indiana to go see playoff games, go meet people, cold calls, cold texts, people that don't know you, have no business knowing you. So, yeah, I think my story is one of just like, I mean, honestly, I think it's luck in a lot of ways, but you got to put yourself in a position to get lucky. So,
what do you regard as your biggest story? Like the one that you got that you're like, that one's the one that felt the best in terms of breaking news, because you've been doing some stuff outside of sports here lately.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the more I think about it now, I think all the reporting done during the pandemic, I mean, I don't think I can pinpoint one, but I think throughout the whole pandemic, I thought was probably the most important reporting that I've ever done. You know, from the night, you know, the NBA suspended Rudy Gobert, tested positive, because we all didn't know much about it. I didn't know much about it. So just the reporting through that, you know, that first night in March through, you know, really since when I got out of the bubble in October, I felt, you know, I think there just was a level of like, you know, feeling proud because, you know, I feel like my job is to inform the audience. And when I'm part of that same group that really doesn't know what the is going on, you know, and I'm able to inform people and bring a level of insight and information, I think that was probably the most important stuff that I've done.
Do you know whether or not Woj gets furious when you scoop him?
No idea.
Oh, I'm telling you, he does, just so we're
clear. Okay.
It's just all the mentions. Yeah. All the mentions. You've seen them whenever someone beats the other one. It's usually like the Miami Heat dunk or someone dunking over the other. It seems as though the NBA community has a lot invested in who's first. Has there ever been like a damn?
It feels pressurized in a way that's unhealthy. All of it feels crazy.
I've gotten rid of mentions, so I stay out of that.
Attaboy.
Shams, good talking to you. Thank you for being on with us. We appreciate it, sir.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you, man.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Stugatz, have you ever been at a restaurant locally where someone took your picture and put it on the wall?
Wow. Great question. I feel like there's a picture of me hanging in a sad quarterdeck somewhere. I do. I think there is actually the one in Plantation.
You will see me all over South Florida with the occasional Daddy Yankee photo also with in a bad Argentinian restaurant.
But the thing you want, right, Chris, as it relates to that, is you want yourself like a your face painted on the wall at the Palm. That's what everyone's looking for, correct?
Well, I don't think I do, because you don't want to be the crappiest celebrity on that wall. Like, I have what is the taco place called? Tijuana Flats by my house. They do this.
Right.
And I always just look at this picture of Jeremiah Bell there, and I'm like, why is he is not on the level to be on this wall.
He was a good safety for the Dolphins for a while.
Yeah, but when you're a sad, lonely place like that, Chris, if Y Bell walks in, you need to put him on the wall. I mean, that's it. You know, you have to. Doesn't walk in very often.
I'm so glad you brought this up, Chris, because I went to this restaurant the other day called the World Famous House of Mac, which was delicious.
Wow.
And there was a bunch of pictures on the wall, and I thought, will I ever be on a wall anywhere? Probably not. And if so, what would I have to do to get on a wall somewhere? Because it seems like there's varying degrees. Like, I went to an ice cream parlor in Jensen Beach, Florida. And there was one picture on the wall because someone famous went in there once.
The only person ever that was famous.
And it was friend of the show, Rhys Davis.
Oh, wow.
Went to that ice cream parlor. And I wonder, has he ever been back? Does he know there's a picture of him on the wall visiting that ice cream parlor? And then I thought, and I felt bad thinking this, I go, I work for ESPN, or I did at the time. I wonder if, like, I let them know if maybe I could get on the wall too. Obviously, I'm not Rhys Davis, but, like, maybe it's just an ESPN thing, and maybe I could get on the wall.
Billy.
And then I was like, no, you'll never be Rhys Davis level. You're never going to be on the wall of anything.
Can we do a reenactment, Billy? Because I would love to do a reenactment of you meekly trying to explain to an ice cream vendor that your picture should be on the wall of the ice cream shops. Can you, in Jensen Beach, Florida? So can we reenact this? Just let's say that I'm at the front there behind all the cones, and I'm just the only employee there, and you've walked in, and I don't know who you are. Go.
Well, just so that we're on this is all fantasy, because this exchange only happened in my head. So, you know, I'd walk up, I'd order two scoops, you know, I'd probably get a waffle cone, maybe the waffle cone dipped in chocolate, a couple sprinkles on it. I'm not a big sprinkle guy, but you know what? I want something out of this exchange. So I'm going to splurge a little bit, go waffle cone with the sprinkles on it, upcharge it a little bit, get the two scoops so that, you know, we're getting a good price going, and I'll give a nice tip. And then, you know, as they hand it over to me, I'll just, you know, I've already seen it, obviously, as I've walked in, I know the situation. Maybe I'll go back another day with case out this location, but I'll be eating the scoop. I'll just, you know, go take a couple licks and be like, hey, you know, notice that wall over there. Rhys Davis is on it, huh? When did Rhys come in? ESPN? I actually worked there too. Rhys, friend of mine. Yeah, me and Rhys, sometimes, you know, I've gone and seen him college game day. You should come next time you're in town. Hey, like, I don't know. I wouldn't mind. Like, if you want to take a picture, put me up there too. I wouldn't mind. I'd be happy to do it. In fact, I just actually happened to come from CVS and I bought a Polaroid camera. If you want, we could whip it out. I could just take a couple pictures, put it up on the wall. Be happy. I'll sign it for you. Whatever you want. Happy to do it.
Billy, can we do this? Can we just have you? Let's see how many walls we can get of you on restaurants throughout South Florida, because you are one. Yes. I want to turn this into content where someone's following you around with a camera as you try and get on the wall of various restaurants.
I want to know who's buying disposable cameras in 2021.
With a little like thing you flick on the top right. You need the Polaroid camera there so that it comes out immediately. Now, okay, so now here's the question, Dan. In this thing that you want to do, do we need to let them know that we're doing this? Or is this just a case where I'm walking in, have like a cup of theirs, smile, take a Polaroid, and then put it on the wall and leave and see if anyone notices?
Oh, I love that. Do that.
So wait a minute. Are you showing up with your own frames and stuff?
I'll just go with some sort of like sticky putty or something. I'll take a picture. I'll put my name, sign it, put the date, and then just kind of stick it at the wall and like walk out slowly.
So wait, do we have you with like a toolkit? Like, do you have nails and stuff and a hammer? Like, are you going to start putting things up? Like, are you going to be a bit of a graffiti artist here? Because I like better the idea of you persuading these people to get the content out of you trying to be a celebrity.
Oh, but walking in and just putting a picture of yourself on the wall is fantastic. hand.
Or walking in and asking the manager to take a picture with you, just thinking that it's a casual picture, and that picture then becomes the picture that you put up.
Right. Like Billy walks in, he's like, hey, can we take a picture? The manager's like, why? And Billy's like, I'm going to put it on your wall.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'd have to do double-sided tape and just kind of show up and take the picture, then put it in and like walk out. But the thing is like, you know how I am. What I'd have to do is like have it on my hand and then just kind of pretend like I'm leaning on the wall and I'm just kind of pressing it on and then quickly like sneak out and then see how long it stays there. The thing is, like the other way, I go to a lot of places where people are not at all interested in what like I do or we do. You know what I mean? Like they could not have heard of the show or us or anything. Like those are kind of like the places that I end up at. So like I couldn't show up at La Carreta on Bird Road and be like, hey, want my picture on the wall? Because they'll be like, who are you?
But
like,
that's got to be such a good wall, though. A Cuban restaurant where the meals are, you know, $6 or $8. I would imagine that that restaurant has a whole bunch of, you know, random, you know, Alfredo Almeziga is going to be on the wall.
Jeremiah Bell?
Like, a bunch of Y Bells.
I actually got a report back in, I want to say 2004, after a Marlins game. My parents went to eat at La Carreta, and who showed up there? None other than Juan Encarnacion.
Wow.
And people were very happy to greet him there. Wow. Ways away from the park. I don't know what he was doing on Bird Road, but there he was eating at La Carreta after a big game. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Also, very, very quick take. I think Cuban food is the best value in food.
You don't free prices, man.
$6
a plate. I'm paying like $14
Chinese food,
for a
solid okay. value. Chinese food.
Oh,
solid.
Chinese food.
Okay, but Billy, food, yeah, definitely. But Billy, you're paying $14 for a meal for four people. It's an extraordinary amount of food.
It's more than one meal. It's more than one meal. If you want to make it last, it's always lunch the next day. So good. Ugh.
Chinese also lunch the next day. I think Chinese wants a seat at this fight.
That's fair. I just think for me, like, I will normally, I hate leftovers. I don't have leftovers at all. Like, it's
who hates leftovers?
Hate leftovers.
What's wrong with you?
I only, like, I will eat food off a white hot hibachi and burn the roof of my mouth because I don't want to have it the next day. I want to have it now. So, although I will say, the air fryer has changed the leftovers game. It is a much better reheating device than the microwave. However, I like my food fresh. And so I don't like leftovers.
When you go to an Italian restaurant and you get a pasta dish, that is better the next day.
Like, no, it's not. There's nothing that is put through a microwave that is better the next day. The microwave is a food destroyer.
It depends on what microwave you get, though.
No, even pizza, it'll make it soggy. You need to put it in like a little toaster oven or like an actual oven if you're going
to
reheat it.
I put everything that I can in an oven as opposed to the microwave. I'm with you on that. And I'm with you for the most part. Like pizza, not good in the microwave. Steak, not good in the microwave. Any meat, not good in the microwave. But a pasta dish, like the next day, gets to blend with that sauce for like overnight. It's sometimes better.
Not having it. I dismissed the Cuban food. You put the palomilla back in the air fryer. Little tostones in the air fryer. Next day, that's decent.
What was that noise?
It captures the essence of the food once more. Put a little olive oil in there.
He's right.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.